Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 17th day of March 2019. We're already in the... I don't know about you, but the older I get, as we all know, time flies. But this has really been fast. March already, who'd have thought? We're going to talk about emotions and kind of what good are emotions. That's the title of our little program here today, and we're going to get into emotions. But I want to again remind you, as I always do, no, not that it does a great deal of good, but I always do. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are able to continue. I don't know what to say, you know, except that without your gifts, what could I say? I couldn't even be on the air. If this program, and I'm kind of speechless, many people listen to the program. We know this. The numbers are there. We get lots of emails about the program. But very few of you listen to it and then decide whether or not you want to support it. And I understand everything about all of that. But you have to understand, too, from my premise, that this program is only here because of you, because of your kindness, the level of your kindness, the compassion of your kindness to serve other people. If it's helping you, it has to be helping others, which it is. And that's the whole key, isn't it? To serve humankind in some way. Everybody talks about the idea of wanting to help people. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, most people don't help at all. They maybe take out the garbage and separate, you know, the trash from the recycle, and that's about as far as they go. I work at hospice, and I know what help needs to be done. And that's just a small part of what I do and a small part of the problems we have in America today. And I try to answer those issues with teachings of spiritual awakening, which most people look at and they think, well, what good is it? Doesn't put food on your table. It doesn't make people better. Doesn't make my life easier. It isn't about all of that. It is about making a contribution for something that you can't see or touch or hear. It goes into the heart. It goes into the very fiber of the heart. And we do get lots of testimonials about radio and TV, and I am grateful for that. But along with that, you have to understand we need money to sustain the work and keep it going. I know the program helps many, but the whole idea is for it to help you and then for you to help others. That's just the simple complexity of it all, and it really isn't that complex. That's the accounting of it, as it were. Become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look down there. Why support Aspire? Click on the button and go for it. Do something out of the box. There's lots of wonderful gifts you get for being a sponsor, and they're all listed there, and I won't get into it. Thank you for listening. Okay, emotion. What is emotion? A natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, moods, or relationships with others. Instinctive feeling. Often associated with intuition. Well, no. And this, I don't agree with any part of this in my experience. It is a natural, instinctive state that affects the mind. And it is derived from the depths of DNA, our fear of survival. That's what it's based in. And it is affected and comes through us, affecting our circumstances. It does affect our mood. It does make moods. It screws up our relationships. It makes relationships. It is not intuitive at all. It is reactive. It is instinctive. Something that is instinctive like that is instinctive and answers to the fear of DNA. So let's get into some of the questions here. The first one from Jan. She does not tell me where she lives. It might be a he, but I'm going to assume it's a she. And I want to thank you, Jan. Here's another one who wrote very nice words and comments about Aspire, and I want to thank you. How do I use my emotions well? You say all the time we don't use them well. Do you ever explain how to, Jan? Oh, Jan, if you read my commentaries, if you read my breath journal, if you were in counseling with me, in session work, in workshops and retreats, which we have one coming up here very soon, I talk about nothing but how to handle your emotions. But you don't understand what your emotions are and how absolutely instinctive they are, and that's why you think I'm not talking about them, because they even affected your question. You see, my emotions come from my DNA. My DNA is strictly a survival mechanism. How to survive in this body, through this body, in this world, through this world. That's the basis of it. I'm just giving you a bottom line presentation here. Then my genetics, my heritage, my lineage interprets how to do that based on the urgency of my emotions. And then I start a career, or I might start doing things. Some people turn to crime, and some people turn to serving humankind, and some people kind of resign themselves to whatever their parents did, their genealogy, their genetics, and they just live off of what father and mother did and the handing down of platitudes and longitudes about what they can and cannot do. And before you know it, you're living their life. So now my emotions are being used to survive. And if you have survival instinct, which often is confused with intuitiveness, this survival instinct tells you how to get out of a situation or free yourself from some perilous condition or whatever. This is the fight that you see in people to stay alive. And this goes on and on and on in us. And how we interpret it through our genetics is very, very important. It's how we stay alive. It's what we do to stay alive. So I am in essence saying to you, that's how we use our emotions on a human level. Okay? To use it well, to use it really well, you would separate inside of yourself from the instinctive part and allow it to show you and help you with your human nature, allowing it not to turn ugly. And the object of a real balanced person is not to let their emotions turn ugly. A balanced person is a person who lives in the world, but not of the world. A person who has learned how to live in their body, but not as their body, not from their body. They live from a soul. And when you have a soul, when you are able to awaken to the soul, then the body becomes less of a priority. In fact, it isn't a priority at all. And you start to realize the essence and the meaning of what it is to have enough insight that your emotions actually help your intuition. They can become the conduit of our intuition but not the intuition itself. And that's where we go wrong. You can have what is called a gut feeling about something, some situation or even person. And that gut feeling is translated into my mind via emotion. But the translation has nothing to do with the truth. It's just translated. My mind, if it is healthy, if I have taken care of it, you will find that this conduit pours into your mind the correct insight. If that isn't confusing enough to you, I don't know what would be. But that's how it works. So my emotions are like the conveyor belt, the conduit of intuition. When I have learned to meditate, when I have learned to recognize and actually, how do I say this to you? Authenticate my soul. Listen to the tones of my soul. Once those tones have been recognized, theory and belief and emotionality all drop down into like leaves falling from a tree. They don't matter anymore. And you start to really feel that which you could not think. And that brings insight and awareness. And now you understand the meaning of what it is to love beyond the idea of right and wrong and good and bad. It is very, very important. Very, very important. So there you are. I hope that helped you a little bit. You can use your emotions well by no longer making decisions from your emotions, no longer making them that surge of adrenaline that goes through your body when you get frightened or excited or whatever, to see that there is no difference between being happy and being afraid. Happy is the quote-unquote positive emotions, and being afraid is the reality of my emotions. And once you understand the difference between the two, then you have come to a very, very wonderful place. There you are. Jen, I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Lincoln. I love that. His name is Lincoln. Very, very good name. I mean, not because of the politician, but because it's just a beautiful name. Lincoln, I love your name. Thank you. Can my emotions love? You say no. Why? Lincoln. Emotions are instinctive urges from the biology of me. They are filled with all sorts of past life experiences that come into this world and manifest through emotionality. My emotions are trivial at best. My emotions tell me one thing and yet are fully capable of doing another. I can say I love you. I can say I hate you with the same fervor. Emotions are, how many people, Lincoln, have said to you, I love you? Probably many. And all those people, how many people really did love you? How will you ever know? What is emotionality? Well, the same emotions that make you think you're in love with somebody or that you love someone are the same emotions that can find reason not to. When I used to do weddings, and I did thousands of weddings in my career, I would always stand there, and in the back of my mind, I would realize as it went on, as the couples were full of emotion about the situation, they were getting married and they were thinking they were going to have a happy ever after life and all of that stuff, that romantic stuff that people like to believe in. They would stand there and I would think how many people I have married that simply hated each other in 6 years, 5 years, 4 years. Or what a thin edge they were on, because if they made one crucial mistake or they followed their own emotions and strayed off the reservation in some way, that other person wouldn't like them at all, wouldn't love them at all, would be really angry at them. This all went through my mind constantly as I watched and did weddings. Most of the people I married, the majority of them out of the, probably, I did around 2,000 or so, a little more than that, weddings in my day. Out of all those people, do you know statistically that over, what was it, two-thirds would be divorced by now. They don't last long. I've had people tell me they love me. I've had women tell me they love me, but they didn't. They thought they did. At the time, it looked like they did because their emotions were instinctive to the idea of survival, their survival. And the man does the same thing. He looks at her emotionally and he thinks to her about her as being this all-providing essential woman in his life. But come to find out, she's not. She gets tired of him. She gets bored with him. You know, we men, we are boring. I mean, we are. We just live in repetition after repetition. And the woman has to be the vital part of the relationship because we're out there plowing away in the fields trying to earn a living and pay for the little offsprings that we made, you know. Yadda, yadda, yadda. It's an ugly situation. If you want real love, if you want authentic love, understand, love is never pointed at someone. I don't love you, Lincoln, more than I love him or her or my own dog, which I dearly love. You don't love people and objects and things. You are love. You are the love. And I gave my group in January this exercise to do to when they go to bed at night and when they wake up in the morning, the first thing to lay in bed, close your eyes, and realize beyond thought, beyond belief, beyond emotion, beyond the whatever, the circumstances that you might find yourself in, good or bad, quote unquote, I am love. That's it. I am loved. You are so loved, Lincoln. Everyone listening to my voice, if I could get this over to you, it would serve you well. But the reason we don't get it, and the reason love is nebulous to us, is because we have absolutely no interest in the real achievement of a person's life, which is to have a soul. And to have a soul, you must have consciousness. You must awaken to the soul through consciousness, to see through the veil of my Greg Penn genetic mentality, my mental acumen, my acuity that is genetically predisposed to. My body is predisposed to it. Just to really understand that changes everything. You are so loved. Lincoln, you don't need to search for it. You are it. You are so loved. And that's a beautiful thing. And if you have that in your heart, if you really can understand that beyond logic and reasoning, beyond your genetic and mental premise, your psychology, you will start to awaken. My students misunderstand me with it. They think it means I am loved like by a person. And that isn't what is meant here. It is very hard for the human mind to wrap itself around the idea that there is something so beautiful that it is beyond the speculation of human thought. You are loved. It's very, very difficult for the human heart to understand that. But less than none, and nonetheless, it is a fact. A truth, actually. Lincoln, don't love with your emotions. Find your heart. Meditate. Awaken. Realize the state of your soul that lives not only within you, but all around you. It is taking care of you. And if you allow yourself to surrender to it, it will bring you nothing but joy and beauty. Don't be cynical. Don't be callous. Work on it. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Jessica, and she lives in Los Angeles. She says, why is good always emotional? Why? Jessica, good is not emotional. It goes to my emotions. My emotions receive it. But that doesn't mean it's emotional. There may be something in your favor, something wonderful that occurs, okay? And when it occurs and your emotions go, oh, this will help us survive. This will help us become important. This will change our circumstance, our relationships with others. I'll get what I want. And that changes our mood. And that's as far as it goes. That could also be taken away just like that in a heartbeat. So as good as it can be, is also as bad as it can be. And people know that, so they guard it. They grieve, especially money. Oh, their people are terrible with their money. Terrible. So they cling to this money thing as though it is the only thing that matters in the restitution of their life. But it isn't. And you can have all the money you want, and it isn't going to change anything. You can have a person that you think loves you very, very much, but then you have to ask yourself, why would this person love me? What is the basis of this love? You will find it's all very disappointing. Very disappointing. We think we have to earn love, and we don't have to earn it. You are it. So we get emotional. It's we who get emotional. And the reason is that the animal of Greg, the genetic and DNA part of Greg, this is the best it can do, is get all emotional. I don't look at it as bad. It just is. It's the way the animal acts. It's like a dog wagging its tail while you're petting it and rubbing its tummy and telling it how much you love it. The little tail waggles, you know. It's just the way your body is. Your body waggles. I don't have a problem with that. You smile, you laugh, you give thanks, you're moved, you cry, you weep. It's all what the body does. It's waggling. That's the way I look at it. And I let it waggle. I do. I don't look at it and say, you're a terrible thing. You're an awful person. You're an awful entity, this body. No. This is the way it expresses itself. And if you understand that, and you can get into that a little bit, then you understand how the body works. It's emotional. It's obsessed with emotion most of the time. It's looking for some emotion most of the time. And there is the issue. And if you look at it from that premise, that point of view, then you understand why things are the way they are. And that's why. No big deal. So your emotions are your emotions. Don't make them your everything. Don't act on them in crucial moments where they tell you to do something destructive or hateful. Don't get too excited from them, because everything in this world is based in impermanence and can change, and there is nothing you can do about it as it changes. We laugh, we weep, we ache. We rejoice. It is a part of having a body and living on this planet. It just is. I hope that helps you. Thank you Jessica, for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, all of you. And Jessica, you too. Namaste.